Friday night in West Ealing, number 79. Red on a bench in Lady Wellfields. Friday night in West Ealing, number 79. I'm listening to Frumpy One Piece, the 1998 compilation of all the Frumpy's releases, and realising that I genuinely don't think I've listened to this record in about 12 years, which seems crazy, seeing how unbelievably Ace is. I guess I'd kind of forgotten about the Frumpies until R sent me a mix with Wrong Way Round on it, and I was filled with an intense joy at rediscovering a great song that maybe sounded all the better for the distance from when I'd last spent time with it. And then, as I sat down at my laptop this evening, my eyes glided over the stacks of CDs in front of me and alighted on the completely impossible to read pale blue spine with red text of Frumpy One Piece. And the next thing I knew, I was shoving it into my laptop and marvelling at how much better its charming brand of lo-fi pop-punk sounded 12 years later. I was a pretty open-minded teenager when it came to music, but I guess the crucial difference between then and now is that music still had the power to scare the shit out of me, which I haven't felt for a really long time, and feel like I probably won't ever feel again. Not that Frumpy One Piece is scary per se, but it's lo-fi and rough around the edges in a way that little other stuff I was listening to was. I mean, the first Slater Kinney and Bikini Kill records are rough and harsh as you like, but they're also ferocious, and you can hear the way both bands were heading for immortality in the scrappy recordings. Though it's impossible to ignore hindsight, I guess. They have iconic black and white covers and song titles that sound like a revolution in themselves. Frumpy One Piece has a front cover with a panda on it and has red Helvetica lettering, and on the back the song titles are almost impossible to read due to the whole red text on cornflower blue thing, and the song titles are weird and cryptic and all sound like private jokes. Do you want a donut? Duvet tar. I just want to puke on the stereo. Fuck your Frumpies. When I try and take the liner notes out of the jewel case, the paper gets all chewed up in those little plastic teeth that are supposed to hold it in, the telltale sign that this has probably been dropped in the bath at some point. I used to listen to every new album I bought in the bath on my little boombox, as well as on my dad's stereo, for some reason. Anyway, the Frumpies basically sound like all the DIY pop bands I love to death now. Scruffy, poptastic, and totally off the cuff and in the moment. At the time, I probably didn't appreciate it as much for what it was, in comparison to a lot of the heavier, more epic, iconic, grandiose, classic, political stuff which was blowing up and remoulding my mind. I guess the band members, who were all in other more iconic slash political bands, Toby Vale, Kathy Wilcox and Billy Karen in Bikini Kill and Michelle May in The Makeup, also wanted to explore other ways of songwriting in a less weighty environment. But I guess a lot of Frumpy's acidy sweet garage pop seeped into my brain somehow, as it's the kind of music I like to make by myself now. I'm super glad I found it again. Knots. I'm feeling kind of nervy and jumpy, and it's making it hard for me to focus on writing, and it's probably why the stuff above sounds a bit mad and breathless. Who am I kidding? All my music writing sounds like that. There's a few things that are distracting me. I woke up to my alarm in the middle of a really intense dream this morning and didn't really come out of the stupor for ages. I was really tired, to the point of my eyelids actually closing a few times as I tried to continue the extremely complicated and never-ending tasks my boss has been torturing me with for the last few weeks. I recorded some vocals for one of my band's new records, which was left me kind of keyed up as I was really happy with how continued over leaf. Knots continued. They came out. And mainly because I found something out that kind of solved a lot of problems and put a bit of a kibosh on something that had been causing me a lot of stress over the last couple of days. To summarise, I was invited to do a show at a space with some friends, which turned out to be something much shadier than we'd originally been led to believe. Some of us were pretty concerned, some of us thought we should just go for it and the time being and try and get one over on the shady people offering the space. Me and one friend had been particularly turning this over in our minds over the last couple of days, and basically I just found something else out that made the decision totally clear and that there was no way on earth that we should do it. It's quite a relief to have a gut feeling backed up by something tangible. Living in London as an artist is only going to get more difficult as the city continues gentrifying at such a completely insane pace, but Getting into bed with the bad guys is never worth it, and I feel a bit of a weight off my shoulder, but also a bit antsy and itchy the way you do when your adrenaline's going. Later. I had to stop writing last night as the jumpiness combined with the sleepiness meant that if I'd carried on, the rest of the zine would have just read etc, etc. I thought maybe I could try and do a bit of stealth writing at work, which is where I am now, and luckily the conditions are right for stealth zine writing. It's really quiet. I don't have a lot to do, and I've already completed the most important tasks. I'm sitting at a computer where no one can see what I'm doing, so I can write a little less stealthily than I might otherwise have had to. And my nosiest colleague, who always asks me what I'm doing, which I find irrationally exceedingly irritating, isn't in. However, I didn't quite budget for the fact that my brain just isn't working all that well today. Last week was kind of intense. Not really in that anything bad happened or anything, but my time is stretched really thin and I had to take on a lot of responsibility on a bunch of things and deal with a few different groups of people. And I have a terrible habit of compulsively organising people. I try not to, but before I know it, I'm subtly bossing people around and everyone has started treating me like I'm in charge of a situation that I didn't want to be in charge of. On Thursday, I went with a group of people from my course to meet with a relationship counsellor for a project. We were asking her about relationship counselling and also about group dynamics and how she started talking about... We were asking her about relationship counselling and also about group dynamics and she started talking about how people take on roles within a group. And I could feel myself blushing like mad when she was going through different types and got to... And then there's the person who takes it on themselves to be the organiser. As I do take it upon myself and then moan about it afterwards. Maybe I need to make another belated New Year's resolution to just back the hell off and stop fretting about how things aren't going to get done if I'm not there to organise them. And that things won't necessarily burst into flames, as someone else might step in and take their turn in organising stuff. I will try. Actually, I had quite a nice moment on Thursday when Jay, whose studio space is next to mine, texted me to ask if I'd let the tutor she was meeting with know that she was running late. I replied that it was no problem. When S, the tutor, arrived, I not only told him, but kept him occupied by showing him videotapes that I saved from a skip last year. I'm not really sure he needed to be occupied, but I felt like it was the polite thing to do. Until Jay bustled in, apologising for being late. Then she also slid a half-eaten bar of Green and Black's chocolate onto my desk and said, "Sorry, that's the best thank you present I could manage," before her and S started their tutorial. When they'd finished and he'd left, I turned to Jay and said, "You don't need to give me a present for telling us you were late. It was no bother, I was here anyway." And Jay, who's from America and is very straightforward, said, "Yeah, but I feel like you're this person who always has their shit together, so people always feel like they can ask you to do stuff, and we should be more thankful for that and not take it for granted that you'll always do favours for people." I felt unusually touched by this, maybe because I was feeling so knackered and stretched, and Jay had got to me just at the right moment. I felt very appreciated, so I thanked Jay and didn't try and give the chocolate back to her, which I'd been planning to do. In fact, when Jay left a minute later, I ate a piece of the chocolate, and it was so good that I ate all of it really fast and then started to feel kind of sick. It was still a nice moment though. Actually, I'd got an amazing package at the beginning of the week from a different Jay in Australia, and a few days before that, another amazing package from T, and I think all these little oases of kindness have been kind of keeping me going when I felt a little bit like I was about to fall over. As soon as I feel less like I'm about to fall over, I owe a lot of people a lot of amazing packages and half-eaten bars of chocolate. Thanks, folks. Heart emoji. Kiss. You should have a listen to Frumpy One Piece. I forgot the hyphen. It's a hyphen in between one and peace. By Frumpies. bikinikill.bandcamp.com/album/frumpy-one-piece. 24 tracks! Heart. Want more copies? Back issues? Friday Night in West Ealing at gmail.com.